Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. Hopefully the Falcons get lucky this week when they take on the Tennessee Titans in joint practices and have success. We had Rhett Bryan on from the Titans Radio Network. If you missed that conversation, head over to the Odyssey app and just search Chris Thomas tonight and it'll pop right up. Oren, before we hear from David Onyemata, just saw this. Not good. Brown star Myles Garrett was cited at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday for going 100 miles an hour in the 60-mile-an-hour zone after the team landed from Charlotte. The team has been made aware of the situation. Garrett was in a car accident back in 2022 when he crashed his Porsche and had to miss a game. Oren, why do they do it? Is it a God complex? Is it...
maybe
boredom, like what? Like Myles Garrett, a guy who has everything in the world. He's a literal Avenger come to life.
Going to be a Hall of Famer,
Fame player. The physique of Atlas, more money than you could spend in 10 lifetimes put together. He's smart. He's articulate. Like life couldn't be laid out on more of a silver platter than it is for a guy like Myles Garrett. Has it all. Great-looking guy. Again, smart. Adonis build. More money than you could possibly dream of spending in six lifetimes. And he's the best in the world at one of the hardest things to do in the world, which is sack the quarterback. Why? I'll never be in their shoes, so I'll never understand it fully. But I don't get it. Like, why in the world would you put yourself and other people at risk at 2 o'clock in the morning, 40 miles an hour over the speed limit, just reckless behavior for no reason? Like, don't you want to go home to your mansion that's inside of a mansion with your moat and your swimming pool and your probably, you know, significant other who looks like they were made out of a lab, you know, in terms of being gorgeous, because I'm sure she is. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll never be in that position, so I can't understand it. But why are you driving 100 miles an hour down the highway, man, when you're Myles Garrett? Like, talk about the cliche having everything to lose. Myles Garrett has everything to lose. Look at Henry Ruggs, people. That is the example. By the way, Oren, have you heard Henry Ruggs lately? He got affected.
Yeah.
It worked. And that's a beautiful thing to see. But you know what he had to lose to get to that point?
Everything.
Every single thing.
Everything.
That
man.
He had. He went from a star prodigy, fastest player in sports in the NFL, on the verge of getting himself to a big payday. And he, you know, wanted it all away to go do this stuff. You know, I just don't get it. There's nothing here about substances or DUIs or anything like that. So I don't want anybody going down that road. It just says he was cited at 2:01 a.m. for going 100 miles an hour in a 60-mile-per-hour zone. So that's all the information that we have. So that's all that we're going to go off of. It's such a shame. Like, dude, wake up and smell the coffee, man. Like, look at your life. You have a life that 0.1% of 0.1% of people to ever walk this earth will live. Like, have some existential understanding of that. Like, I'm talking about it from your PM Sports Talk Radio host perspective. So it's easier for me, I guess, in the moment, and y'all that are driving around the A with your 9-to-5, it's easy for us to put it in perspective. Like, you know, if we had what Myles Garrett had, we'd be, you know, eternally grateful and wake up every day and, you know, just pray and thank whatever you believe in that your life is this way. But I guess when you grow up that way and you're a star prodigy and everything's handed to you and you feel like you can do no wrong, that's what happens. You get the God complex, you get an ego the size of the Grand Canyon, and it should be. Like, Orton, I'm not sitting here saying Myles Garrett needs to be humble. He doesn't. But he doesn't need to be stupid either. And that's the difference. And I'm not going to lie. I really thought he was, like, one of the really smart ones. Because if you hear him talk, he's not just an alpha meathead. This dude is, like, learned, and he's studying, and he's curious, and he's, like, one of the more interesting cats in the NFL. But male ego, driving a fast car, making it go fast. Tale as old as time. It's unfortunate. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, I doubt anything will come down from the league. It's a super speeder, but it's a speeding ticket nonetheless. And just thank God it wasn't anything more. All right, we'll transition from one defensive player to one on our team, David Onyemata. He caught up with the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, and this was their conversation.
It sure is. You know, 10 years ain't no joke, but, you know, we're still going.
You're the OG of the room, though. I mean, I'm pretty sure do that, because you got a lot of young players in that room right now. How do they address you?
Same D.O.
Okay, ain't no OG.
D.O., yeah, not OG.
Not OG. D.O., no OG. Just making sure. But to that point, you know, we got a chance to see a lot of them. Obviously, you weren't out there on Friday night, but you got to see a lot of the young guys that we talk about and everything like that. And we were just, before we got you on, talking about where you are in the interior. We talk about Dorlis and Rook and all those guys. How have you watched them mature? Because they were here last year. Yeah. But as far as off-season conditioning and going to training camp.
You know, it's just seeing them take that next step. You know, even in regards to all the guys in the room, TQ, Laquelle, you know, Zach, Street, everybody, you know. It's just the main thing we've just been focusing on, basically improving in every sense.
David Onyemata joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. In a situation like Friday, when you know you're not going to play, but there's a lot of those young guys, like you mentioned, that are out there, what are you doing on Friday on the sideline? Like, what's the game like for you?
Just watching every day, you know, keeping an eye out there, especially trying to help the guys, you know, just give them a little pointer here and there, just try to help them get going.
What is that like, though? I mean, because, you know, you are, like I said, you were a young player down in New Orleans. I'm sure Cam and all those guys took you under their wing and helped you out. How are you helping these guys out? Because it's you know this, man. This sport's hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a young player with expectations.
No, most definitely. It's just seeing the little details and just telling them when they come off the field, just so you can kind of help them with certain things. You see certain tendencies and certain things that hold up. You kind of just give them that inside, just so that, you know, folks who play faster.
Maybe for because we saw Rook play a bit last year. He'll obviously play more this season. For fans, maybe it's some of his mentality, maybe it's some stuff that he does physically. Tell us what you've seen from him being around him.
It's basically everything. We're around each other basically every hour of the day in the building, you know, from the weight room to the field to the film room, you know, so just seeing the improvement with him and Brandon, you know, going into your second year now, just seeing the way they take in, you know, the details from Nate, our coach, and how they apply on the field.
How's the new defense with, I mean, you got a new, this is your third quarter since you've been, right? Am I not mistaken?
That's right.
Yeah, the third quarter. How has it been in Brick's defense so far?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, regardless of the circumstances of the game, what was that, on Friday, you could see things coming to light, you know. It's great.
David Onyemata joining us here, Midday Show with Andy and Randy live in Flowery Branch. I'm not saying put a number on it, just expectations-wise for you guys as a defensive line.
Yeah.
What do you think this group can be this season?
The sky's the limit, you know. It's a whole lot we could achieve, you know. But for example, like the way I think about it, we're still in training camp phase, you know. There's no light at the end of the tunnel right now. We're still grinding. So, you know, when the initial season actually starts, then we'll talk a little more.
Well, you get an opportunity tomorrow to obviously hit somebody else.
That too.
You know, it's always the grind of the training camp and going against. I mean, you know everything Lynch's going to do, probably everything that Bergeron's going to do. Mm-hmm. You guys go against it so much. Talk about the importance of what's going on tomorrow.
It's great. It's another way for you to evaluate yourself, even though for the veterans as well, regardless of who you are in the roster, it's another opportunity for you to get to evaluate yourself and you're going against someone else, you know, it's, yeah.
I'm hoping this happens this year, selfishly and also for you. Just love seeing defensive linemen score touchdowns.
Yeah.
You've got a pick in your career, two fumble recoveries.
Yeah.
Feels like this is going to be a group that's going to get after the quarterback
most
quite a
definitely.
Bit. Do you ever think about what you would do?
Scoop and score, baby.
Yeah, and then you get in there. Like, do you ever think about what you would do if you got into the end zone?
Drop the ball and jump back.
All
that, you're going to spend so much time burning energy, you're going to get back on the field tired. So, yeah, I'm not doing
just
that.
Just do like a casual dance or something
I'll
like
just
that.
Casually walk off.
All right, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. You know, we had fun last week because, obviously, you know, trainer camp scuffles are a big part of what goes on and everything. Mm-hmm. And there's a young player scuffling all the time out here. Do you take them slide, young fella? Because, the fighting net, you were just talking about the energy it takes. That's like four plays out of practice that it takes out of you for that one scuffle.
But we've all been there.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody, you got to – at some point in your career, you know, we've all been there.
Right.
Yeah, even you?
So,
he's mixing up down there in Moultrie.
Young Onyemata? Starting fights?
I guess. So.
Not anymore?
I guess.
I find it hard to believe. I guess I've seen you play, so the player is a little different than than the guy. Just kind of looking at your path, and I don't have to do too much like history here, but you're a really interesting path. Where do you spend your off seasons? Like, you've lived so many different places, went to college in Canada, obviously started in New Orleans. Where's home?
Basically just where I'm playing at. Right. So home basically right now is Atlanta, you know? Yeah.
How, and it's my last one for you, because you came in and you were brought to help out Grady Jarrett in the interior. Great job doing that. He's gone now.
Yeah.
How has that been without that voice in that room?
You know, you got to understand in this league, it's kind of like it's a next man up mentality, you know. So I feel the big thing is, like I said, we all coming together as a group and just, you know, getting this thing going.
Great stuff there from David Onyemata, the new BMOC, the big man on campus, as Grady departs and he takes over as the leader of that defensive line room. Excited to see him play next to all of the new talent. All right, when we get back, we got a new preseason AP Top 25 college football poll, and I do not like where the Bulldogs find themselves. Getting jobbed right off the bat. I'll explain as Joe DeLeon, our college football insider, joins me next. Latest college football poll is out, and I don't like it. I think our dogs got jobbed in the first AP Top 25 College Football Poll. The preseason edition came out earlier today. Texas 1, Penn State 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, and Georgia at number 5. Wow, the disrespect is real. We'll see if my next guest agrees. Catch him on A to Z Sports, my good buddy Joe DeLeon. Joe, let's start there. What did you make of the top 5? Texas a worthy number 1, and on down to us here in Georgia at number 5.
Yeah, I think that orientation in the top 5, I didn't have a ton of problem with it because we're going to get the chance for both these teams to prove who is the better squad. I'm a big believer in Clemson this upcoming season, so I have no issue where they're placed at number 4. I think that the talent on that roster is unbelievable, and they have a coach who's won a national championship. There's only so many with Nick Saban out of the mix that are still around. But here's my big issue, and where I would actually, kind of to your point, I would move Georgia in this spot where Ohio State is at number 3. I don't understand all of this preseason love for Ohio State. I get the respect that they earned after they won a national championship, but can we take a look at the roster? Can we take a look at all the guys that left, that went into the NFL draft and were super highly drafted? We're talking about losing a first-round wide receiver in Emeka Abuka. We're talking about losing two of your top pass rushers in Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau. You also lost Tyreek Williams in the first round, Donovan Jackson, offensive lineman in the first round, Trevion Henderson. You also lost Quinshon Judkins. They've just been completely picked apart, and we've got two new coordinators taking over on offense and defense, plus a first-time starting quarterback in Julian Sam. They're bringing back a lot of really good players. They're going to be a top 10 team. I just did my bracket prediction show on Rufino and Joe, my college football podcast, And I projected that Ohio State was going to make it. But as an 8 seed, why are we putting them at 3? I think that is way too high to put that team with everything that they just put out into the NFL.
Speaking of which, I did see an ESPN article, and then we'll get back to the latest coaches poll, that had the list of the prediction of the first team All-America. Cade Klubnik was QB1. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do, and I think that there's a strong chance that that will get completely shifted come the end of the season, that somebody like Lenor Sellers could take over. We could see somebody like Drew Aller take over. Heck, we could even see Arch Manning take that top spot. But I think when we look across the board with all these returning starting quarterbacks, with the guys I just mentioned, you could also throw Garrett Nussmeier into that conversation. Guys who were productive, multi-year starters, or at least started a long stretch of games. Cade Klubnik is the most efficient statistically. Go look at the ways that he played. His touchdown to interception ratio was tremendous. Had 40 plus total touchdowns as a runner and a passer last year. But I think with all of those guys that could be in the mix, he put out their performances where his team was struggling defensively. They had slow starts. The receivers weren't making big plays early. Run game was taken away because Phil Moffa was banged up. And he rallied the team. The Texas game, I think, was a really good example of how he kept them alive. He kept them alive against South Carolina. He kept them alive against SMU in the ACC championship game. To me, he is the one player of all these quarterbacks that has just stepped up to the challenge when he's needed to. I think that there's too many really weak performances from guys like Garrett Nussmeier and Drew Aller, who can be great players this year, but are still a bit unproven because they've been inconsistent.
All right, let's take the rest of this list here in some chunks. We got Notre Dame at 6, Oregon at 7, Alabama 8, LSU 9. Would you rearrange any of those and why?
I would keep those as firmly as they're there. And I think that when we get to this one here, it's just kind of shake them all up and drop them in whatever position, because this is the tier to me of teams that have promise and have elite position groups, but have question marks. Notre Dame's question mark is Kenny Minchie or CJ Carr going to emerge as a plus starter? Will their passing game be more dynamic with new receivers in the mix with, again, a brand new starting quarterback for Oregon? Same question applies with Dante Moore, as they lost Evan Stewart to a serious injury. Can Corian Moore, a true freshman, step up enough for their offense to be okay this year? They're very well recruited on defense, which is why I'm not really going to doubt them. At Alabama's spot, the question is, how does Ty Simpson look, and can they produce an edge rush this year? Ty Simpson was just named the starter. I think he's going to be tremendous for this team. But to what degree? Is he going to be average? Is he going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country? He is a bit of a Pandora's box of outcomes for how he's going to look. In LSU's cases, can Garrett Nussmeier cut down on the turnovers? Can they run the ball better? And can this new-look defense play up to its potential? So I'm good with putting those teams in any order. I don't think that there's really much separation from 6 through all the way to 10 where Miami is.
Just about to ask you about Miami specifically. Did they bring enough back, and then with the addition of Carson Beck, to justify being 10?
Yeah, they're one of the more experienced teams in the country and in the ACC, and most importantly, most experienced along their offensive line. They have one of the best units. I would actually maybe even argue that they have the best returning O-line next to Utah's for this upcoming year. Francis Malagoa is a guy who's going to get drafted pretty highly, who is a road grader, a big body for them to tackle. They're going to run the ball a lot more effectively than they did last year, and I think that is where their focus is going to be with the three deep running back unit that they have after they brought in Jamar Brown, who was the FCS freshman of the year this past season from North Dakota State. But where I'm excited about this Miami team and why I think they take a step forward is that defensively they were aggressive about bolstering their secondary, which was a significant liability, and they brought in the most underrated defensive coordinator hire of Corey Heatherman, who they brought in from Minnesota. Heatherman didn't have as much talent as he has right now to work with when he was at Minnesota. He had some pretty good players that stepped up. Coy Parrish got a lot of production out of him, and he was a great safety, but he was able to tap into a mixed bag of players that not every single defensive coordinator was going to produce a top five statistical defense like he did this past year. So I think that this Miami team will finally push through and will get to the college football playoffs.
Talking about the new preseason AP Top 25 poll with our buddy Joe DeLeon. Make sure you check him out at A to Z Sports. I want to tackle the next three here specifically, Joe, for this reason. Arizona State comes in at 11, Illinois 12, South Carolina 13. I would like your opinion on this. I kind of like South Carolina better than both of those teams, but I understand the preseason hype, especially Illinois. I know has a pretty good all-around squad coming back, but I like what Shane Beamer's done in South Carolina. I think with Sellers back, I wouldn't be surprised if they were 11.
Well, my only issue with bringing up South Carolina in this mix of ahead of these two teams, I think South Carolina will probably finish the year ranked, but they're losing a lot as well. They're one of these teams that had an unexpectedly dominant defense. It was one of the best defenses in the country, but we're seeing Nick Emenwari and Kyle Kennard and Tonka Hemingway and TJ Sanders, Demetrius Knight. These are all guys that were drafted very early this past draft, and they're gone. They moved on. They are in the NFL now. They could end up doing what they did last year, where there's a new group of faces coming in that nobody had any faith in that plays way better than everybody expects. But I think we're operating in a very difficult area of variance of outcomes because we're doing this 2 years in a row. I think Dylan Stewart's going to be awesome. I really think that Lenore Sellers is going to be a top SEC quarterback this year. But I think we need to temper expectations compared to these two squads of Arizona State and Illinois, who are bringing back a lot of returning production. Arizona State particularly is one of the most experienced teams in the country. And they also have one of the best quarterback wide receiver combos in the country with Jordan Tyson and Sam Levitt. I think that they're going to be really productive this year. Tyson went down at the end of the season with a season-ending injury, so we didn't get to see him in the college football playoffs. But I really do believe he will be a first-round pick by the time the season is over. Those two are just so gifted working together. And the last part, Illinois' defense is loaded. Xavier Scott and Gabe Yakis coming back. I think that that whole defensive unit, as they quite literally beat up on South Carolina in their bowl game, they've proven that they deserve to be in the mix.
Okay, why is Michigan 14? Explain it like I'm five.
This is one of these ones where I don't get either. I think that Michigan is another team that can finish the year ranked, but to put them that high up in the early teens or the mid-teens, it's a lot of wishful thinking for a true freshman led by a true freshman quarterback. The logic that you get from folks, which is a fair argument to bring up, hey, they're going to have a much more talented quarterback than a walk-on that they had last year playing quarterback. They're going to be fine. They're going to be able to be a lot more productive. Their run game is going to be better with Justice Haynes. But my problem is, though, is as much as that's exciting, do we expect a true freshman quarterback to still not make mistakes in late game situations on the road in tough environments? I think that they're going to be an 8-4 team this year. I think there's a chance that they go 9-3, but for this belief that they're going to be one of the 14 best teams in the country, I think that's a bridge too far.
I agree 100%. Florida 15, if Flagway's healthy, no real issue there. SMU, we know what they did last year. They got some respect. Kansas State's always around. I think Oklahoma, Joe, could be better if the quarterback play is what we think it can be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And John Mateer is incredibly gifted, and I think that he is going to be able to, with a slightly improved offensive line, play a lot better through pressure than Jackson Arnold did last year. I think the Mateer and Arbuckle are going to really, really put up some big numbers. Their schedule is just brutal. So I think there's a real chance that Oklahoma finishes the year unranked, but still has a pretty good season because they're going through a gauntlet of schedule.
And then Texas A&M, with the amount of recruiting they do and the amount of success they're always supposed to have, is this spot just sort of grandfathered into them? Have they earned it? How do you view A&M?
No, they've earned it. This defense that they're bringing back is really dangerous. And I think that if we look on the offensive side of the ball, if Marcel Reed in this running game with the double-headed monster of Reuben Owens and Le'Veon Moss, who's coming off of an injury, they could be a leading rushing team this year. And their receiver room is a lot more dynamic than it was last year. So there's a chance for them to be able to take some shots and then also dominate the lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. This Texas A&M roster is justified in being placed where they are. I don't think that this is one of those circumstances where they're just getting slotted there because, you know, Texas A&M just needs to be in the top mix.
Indiana, again, we saw what they did last year. We'll see if they can do it again. Ole Miss with the loss of Jackson Dart and company, is that why they fall all the way to 21?
Yeah, this Ole Miss team is another team that's incredibly gutted. And I think that Austin Simmons could be a driving force for success for them this season. There's a lot of people are saying that he's going to live up to the hype that's being put out there, despite him only playing that one drive against Georgia. It was a dang good drive, though, I will say that much. But they are replacing a lot. We saw a lot of defensive players after they put together that massive unit of elite names that didn't live up to expectations. How do we expect them to play if they couldn't get the job done and get to the playoff last year with that group led by Walter Nolan? What do we expect that they're going to do this season?
Iowa State comes in at 22, 24 Tennessee, 25 Boise State. I want to finish up here with Texas Tech. We know about the money they've spent, but 23 is sort of a prove it thing. Do they put it all together, or is this going to be a mishmash of talent and money spent all over the place?
I think that this Texas Tech team is legit. I picked them as my Big 12 winner. They're another team that's bringing back a lot of returning production, but they are a squad that has done so much in the transfer portal to bring in the right guys in the right spots. Romello Height, the bringing in David Bailey from Stanford, Quinton Joyner could be one of the best running backs in the country this year. He is that gifted. I think that there's a real shot that this team actually gets the job done and they take it that step further that they haven't been able to get to. I have to bring up, though, I hate Boise State being at number 25. This to me is so stupid. This is such a participation trophy move, putting them at 25. They just had a Heisman Trophy finalist, a guy that was a top 10 pick in Ashton Gentry, and he's gone. He's not coming back. Am I betting on Maddox Madison to get this team to be a top 25 team? They're not the best G5 team, nor should any G5 team even be ranked. I put Toledo ahead of them, but most importantly, we don't have to put a dang G5 team in the top 25 just to do it. Georgia Tech should be on here. That is my big stance that I keep having with this, is why are we not ranking Georgia Tech with all of the big name players that they're bringing back and the very winnable schedule that they have this season?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and we'll see if that all comes to fruition. Joe, appreciate the time. As always, fun breaking it down. We'll talk soon, and we'll check you out at A to Z Sports.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, that is Joe DeLeon breaking down the AP coaches poll, the first officially official one of 2025. Good stuff there from Joe. When we get back, there was a lot that happened over the weekend in the NFL. I'll let you hear the biggest sights and the sounds, including from our Falcons as well, to wrap up a busy, busy 8 o'clock hour on Chris Thomas Tonight. She's got a new single out. It's pretty good.
Gorgeous. Well, I will flat out say that.
Well, I didn't know you felt so strongly about this. Wow. Just
gorgeous, yeah.
Lauren Romaine, not somebody. Listen.
She's a fun Instagram follow, too.
There's a lot of pigs out there.
By the way, we're Lauren referring Romaine, to not, JoJo.
Yes, JoJo. Get out. Leave right now.
Get out.
Oren Romaine is not one of those pigs.
He's not.
I worked in the studio with him for a long time. We got ample opportunities to be piggish with sports.
Oh, do we?
Sports and guy talk and all the other stuff. Oren is not one of those guys. So for him to come right out of the shoot.
You just dropped that one.
With me referencing nothing about her looks, just saying, hey, she's got a new single out and I like it. She is.
I had a feeling that eventually maybe we go down that road, too.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. I was always wondering what happened because I remember she had the music career. in the early 2000s. Then she did a movie with Robin Williams called RV, which was actually pretty funny. It's a good comedy, actually. I'd recommend it. It was one of the last movies he made. Go check that one out. And then she just, Orin, she fell off the face of the earth for like a decade.
Yeah, but the reemergence for her has been strong.
According to you, very strong.
Very strong, I guess.
Very strong. Time has been kind to one JoJo. But back then, because like she's basically the exact same age as me, I always thought she was very attractive. Even when this song came out and I was in middle school, I was like, that makes me feel funny.
Speaking of interesting comments, sir, yes.
Yes, 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 exactly. You know what's really sad to see? When you have a favorite TV show or radio show or podcast that you listen to, and you know that it's not the same as it used to be, and then you find out that mom and dad are arguing behind the scenes, and then you find out that the show that you used to love is probably never going to be the same again, and it's just a shame. Like, whatever that show is for you, there's a million of them. What shows were like that? What was Family Matters? She went upstairs and she never came back down.
You know, they switched. It was funny. The last season of Family Matters, one, was not on ABC. They moved it to CBS, which was really random. And two, like Fresh Prince, they switched out the mom.
Well, that was literally the next thing I was about to say, Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
Not being the same actress. So when stuff like that happens, it's like a bummer, you know? Boy Meets World, they all grew up, and the show kind of wasn't the same as it was in the earlier seasons. Well, today I found out that...
Well, Girl Meets World did give us Sabrina Carpenter, though, right?
Is that where she's from?
I think she's from that, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never watched Girl Meets World. I just... It passed me by. Well, today I found out that my favorite radio show growing up was the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz. I listened to that show religiously. I still listen to it almost every day. I download the podcast and I listen to it as part of my sports. It's tougher now because I'm a full-time host here, so I tend to listen to 92.9 The Game a lot because I want to listen to what everybody else is saying.
Want to be up to date with all of the comments and statements and whatnot.
Exactly. But I found this article on Awful Announcing today. John Stugatz Wiener chides Dan Le Batard among prolonged absence from the show. Quote, "I'll show up whenever the I feel like it." Wow.
Okay. Oh, Trouble in Paradise
apparently
down there.
He said this during a fill-in hosting of the Chris Sims show, in which he was saying, well, I actually like the host of this show. Wow. That's it. And that just makes the point of all of this is to say that it just makes you sad, right?
When
all that stuff, you know, that show I started listening to in high school and I've listened to all the way through. Same thing with, like, Howard Stern. There was that announcement last week.
It's done.
That he's going to be done. Apparently, I saw a post today, though.
Might move to the network or something.
He's reinvigorated. You know what that means? I'm going to get my $100 million one way or another.
Somebody's going to pay me.
Somebody will pay me.
And then I'll do the show that you didn't want me to do on another network.
Yeah, I'll go back to ripping people and having
prank calls,
adult entertainers in studio.
The seven dirty words, trying to get them on air.
And, you know, do all sorts of...
WNBC.
WNBC. Robin, I don't understand what's going on.
Pig vomit.
Yeah, that was so good. And you know what? That's another example. Like, he stopped doing stuff like that because as he got older, he changed, his views changed, his... lifestyle changed, and
he's 70s now.
He's in his, you know, 60s, 70s, and he went to Hollywood Howard. He did the whole America's Got Talent thing for a while, and it just changes. So today, I just saw that. I was looking at Awful Announcing. I checked them a couple of times a day just to see what's going on in the business, and I was like, whoa, mom and dad are fighting. And that's a shame, because if you've ever listened to that show, it's a show that's purposefully about fun. Like, they go so far out of their way to make the entire show about fun topics and back and forth. And, you know, their famous saying is, you don't get the show, meaning like their jokes are so inside, their audience is so hardcore, much like the Rat Pack from Howard Stern. So to see shows like this that as you get older, they come to an end or they change and all that, it's just, it's unfortunate because that was a show that I grew up watching and listening to and loved and helped, honestly, I'm not going to lie, helped shape my love for sports radio. You know, like that's why I like to talk about the lighter stuff and talk about movies and talk about video games and relationships and all this other stuff on the air, because that's the type of stuff that I liked growing up.
That's what you were into.
That's what I was into. Like, I want to know about your Franklin's first day of school. People want to hear about me and Kiara and the shenanigans I get myself into.
The weekend trips with matching outfits.
Yeah, just by me being a dummy. Like, just the stuff that we do. And a lot of that I learned to enjoy from Dan, because Dan and his crew did a really good job of mixing in sports topics with lifestyle topics. And I think that's why his show is so successful. And other guys do the same thing, like Dan Patrick and his crew. You know, the funniest moments of Dan Patrick and the Danettes is when, you know, they're talking about their car getting, you know, running out of gas on the side of the road. It's not breaking down, you know, like I just did with Joe DeLeon, the hardcore sports topics of you know, breaking down the AP Top 25. I love doing that too, but I'm just saying, like, the well-rounded shows I think are the best ones. And a lot of that shape for me growing up was listening to Dan and Stu. And to read the article, I'll show up whenever the blank I want. Wow. Okay, Stu Gotts, put that foot down, man. You got it. Okay, good for you, man. And apparently he, like, started his own YouTube channel now, and he's never on the show anymore. Mom and Dad are fighting, man, and I don't like it. One thing I do like, though, that's our Atlanta Falcons, because they got a big day coming up tomorrow and Wednesday with this scrimmage coming up with the Tennessee Titans, these joint practices. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. I want to see how Penix looks. I want to see, does Kyle Pitts get involved in the offense? I mean, there's a lot that can happen. One guy that was speaking today was Chris Lindstrom as well. We heard from Arnold Ebiketie earlier. He was talking about Ryan Neuzel and the fact that, listen, this is just a dude who's quite frankly good at stuff.
He's good at everything. Like he's probably the best well-rounded athlete in the building. And so we'll go play pickleball. And like in 2022, we're playing with like Marcus Mariota, and we're playing there. And Neuzel's like the best player on the court. And then so then we go in golf. And then outside of Matt Ryan, he's probably the best golfer on the team. And it's just like, it's absurd. He looks the way he does. We love him, but he's the most well-rounded athlete on the team.
What do you mean? Well, how does he look? I don't get it.
He's a fire hydrant. We love him. He's our guy.
What's the expression? Don't throw stones from a glass house. I mean, come on, Chris. I mean, you're the best in the league at what you do, but you're also an offensive guard yourself. Oh, man, that's funny. Lindstrom was also talking about how fun it is to play in a competitive environment.
Yeah, it's very, very competitive. I think when you have two teams that are willing to work, kind of eliminate the nonsense that sometimes goes on, and you just kind of really focus on what's done, you can get really, really productive work in a safer environment. And get that work. And, you know, I know they have Jeff Simmons and a lot of really good players that are going to make me better heading into the season. And just to see something different, you see our defense, they know our calls, we know their calls. So it's just like get a little something different in a good competitive environment is fun.
And finally, last but not least, we'll hear it straight from the horse's mouth. He says, listen, I'm okay with no preseason reps.
Yeah, I think each coaching staff does it differently, and there's a program in place, so definitely support and behind it. And we have, the reps now, but I think it shows to that point is we know that this is our competitive, you know, ones against a different team. Mm-hmm. And so these reps are really, really valuable. And so trying to take all of them fresh and knowing each one of them counts.
Good stuff there from Chris Lindstrom as they prepare for their big two-day joint practice event coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday. All right, when we get back, we talked about this earlier in the show. Why are some of the teams in this city choosing now to start playing better than they have? I don't understand. United gets their first win in a while, then they draw with Toronto. Competitive match. looking like the team's starting to get into form a little bit. And then the Braves take 4 out of 5 from the Marlins. Really? Now? When you're 18 games under 500 is when you choose to do that? All right, Braves, whatever. We'll talk to Jason Longshore in his weekly spot, get a lowdown on the Five Stripes. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10.